I remember how Brother Branham used to say, I wish my lovely audience could be in the dimension that I'm in and see these wonderful things, even as we've seen them in heaven so many times. And truly, it is so beautiful, it is so wonderful, and the abundance of them is so great. For perhaps at least here 20 years, we've been talking from 3 to 5 to 8 hours. Some were saying the other day that sometimes it would go on and the anointing will speak. And some said we have listened for 8 solid hours. And I have been, when it was on us, when we would be telling of the great things of God, when it would go on all night long, and it's hard to believe, but even in the morning daylight, I've had them that was listening said, please don't stop. So it is wonderful the way he speaks. And this, of course, is not to everybody. Some are reflectors and they're intellectual and they hear these things and they really don't hear nothing. They don't know nothing. They don't see nothing. Having ears to hear, they don't hear. And having eyes to see, they don't see. But they're still there as in the rain, the tear, for the rain must come down upon them. And their intellectual concept has to be there as to that seed. How to bring forth the twins. And one of it is as a preacher preaching a sermon. And from that voice emanates a sound. And that sound finds listening ears and faith by that of the hearing. And as to the sounds having gone into all the earth, but the Bible said who hath believed our report. Well, that is to say who hath faith to see or accept or eyes of understanding. Who hath faith to receive this? No man can receive anything save it be given him of God, and he gives it to him by faith, for he gives him that special faith that no one else has. So then, as to the sound, and it comes forth, and one hears, and another hears, and the twins are born. As to the conception, there is an intellectual conception as to hearing when the ear picks it up, and the understanding takes it, and the understanding as to human understanding and human intellect, it enters into the mind, and when it enters into the mind, then it brings forth as to a consolation to the flesh, as to practice the things that are of the world, and that Lucifer is the god of this world, and the old tree of knowledge, that is as to what you represent because of your condition, and that is what you are, as to a tree of death. And relating back to the generation of vipers. So then it comes into your intellect, and you accept it, and you hear it, and you reason, and you're sure you got it. And that's as far as it got. But the child of faith, as to him that believeth in his heart, and as he thinketh in his heart, so he is, that penetrates, and as it hits the intellect, then it changes in the spirit and life and goes down into your spirit, which is your life, that's in your bloodstream, which is in your heart. And then the divine conception has to the virginity of the heart, and then the Christ comes forth. So it's so beautiful to see the wonderful things in heaven and to watch them every day, day after day, all through the day as these wonderful things transpire. And when you behold humanity and you watch them, you see some that is so self-esteem and some that are so intellectual and high-minded and some that are so much in the flesh and so confident and so positive. And you watch them and you don't say anything to them. You just watch them, pray, walk with them just like Jesus did with Judas and Paul did false brethren. They have their part to play, and he can't go about plucking them up, because if you do, you'll get the wheat. Because there's people that have their eyes on these people and they're convinced that they are number one in the kingdom of God. And if you pluck one of them up, you knowing that they are a tare and the worst kind, then the roots are so deep as to around the hearts of some, they'll go running after that poor brother that you mistreated or that poor sister. Or they'll cut you down like a tree because of what you did. And being blind and not understanding, then as the Bible said, when the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But as it is said, having eyes they see not. The prophet said, having ears they hear not. Lest at any time they should hear and see and be converted, and I should heal them. But as to them that are lost, the Bible said, if this gospel be hid, it be hid unto them that are lost. Those that Satan having blinded their eyes, that they cannot see when good comes, and being blinded by the darkness of that ignorance which is within them, as the old tree of knowledge, and their human reasoning, which God rejected when he said, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ every thought. And that with this his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, and looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf. Because in the upright of heart there is confidence, and in confidence there is faith. And in faith then they have whatever they say, whatever they desire, as to God when they command him concerning the works of his hands, or that is through the Lord Jesus. So it's very evident that with these wonderful things, you sit and you watch, or you pass by and you watch, and you see how easily Satan takes the great and the mighty and the overconfident and them that are very fleshly, and how he entwines the web. He just weaves the web around them. A little glitter of the dewdrops as to the sparkle and the sunlight to the reflection of that glory. And before you realize it, they've gone into the world. They've got so deep in debt and deep in the things and deep involved as to the evil communication corrupting their good manners. And the first thing, as you know, they're caught in the web. Then when the spider sees that he's got his prey, he doesn't bother him to start with. It's kind of like a fly on a springboard, and it seems kind of jubilant. But after a while, it tightens. And the spider moves in, and he throws another loop and another loop. And then when he knows that his prey is bound and cannot get loose, then the spider closes in for the kill. So, being children of God, having our eyes of understanding open, knowing that this light that shines in the darkness as to the evening time, the Bible said at the coming of this great light, as to the true light, the day star, and a more sure word of prophecy, as to the evening time, there shall be light in the evening time. And in this, knowing that the evening time light has come, people cannot comprehend it as in darkness, for they cannot comprehend this light, though it shines in the darkness. But we are children of light, therefore we comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, marvelous light. And as it is said at the midnight cry, we have the oil and we light the candle and we walk in the light. And the Bible says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And when you want to do your own thing and go your own way, and when you're so busy in the world that you don't have any time for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you don't have any time to share the load as to world evangelism or to prayer or coming in on the home front to do anything for God, then that means that you are the bond's child. And having been subjected to vanity by reason of God, who subjected the same in hope, as to what the revelation of the Lord shows, then that means that you are a bond's child because you didn't make the madam offices at Calvary. And because of that, then you are bound to death and to the dust of the earth. Upon your belly, as all of your labors for your belly, upon your belly shall you go all the days of your life. And your whole life is built around passions, fornication and adultery, eating and drinking, marriage and given in marriage, and the lust and the infatuations of the flesh. Of the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. But Jesus said, not so with me. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. You are of the earth. I am not of the earth. So such as they that belong to the kingdom of the earth, as to the kingdom of dust, as from which they were taken, as to make them into a stature likened unto a human being. And so are they that belong to the spirit that was in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, coming from the loins of the heavenly Father unto eternal life, that are made to be gods, to rule and reign throughout eternity, being that rules with a rod of iron, breaking the nations into pottery. And with that, they are in control of all eternity with all of their desires. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to read just a little bit from over in the book of St. Luke, chapter 21, If I resort to the water every little bit to moisten the tongue, don't be alarmed. I'm always reminded of the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, wanting just a little bit of water, asking that Lazarus should come as he looked across the great gulf into paradise, Abraham's bosom, and asking for Lazarus to come just to dip his finger in a little water to cool my tongue, my parching tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. And folks, though it sounds like a fantasy world when you talk about God and the good things, and it sounds like a fantasy world when you talk about hell and the bad things, but there is a heaven and there is a hell, and hell was made in the time of God's anger for the devil and his angels and was not made for you. And there's no reason for you to have to go there. But when he got upset with Lucifer because of what he did, he created a place called hell to put him into it. And the Bible said, because you have related to sin and followed Lucifer, then your angelic being has become a fallen one from grace. All of them that are not under grace have fallen from grace. They're under the law of sin and death. And therefore you are a follower of Satan, as in your angelic being, because in heaven, as to the spirit, all are as angels, whether good or bad. And in the sight of the Father spirits, that's where you are. And if you are, then that means that lets us know what Christ meant when the Bible said, hail from beneath has moved for to meet thee at thy coming and enlarges itself without measure. Because so many people are going there when it was made for the devil and his angels, but it had to enlarge itself to take care of those that were so careless. Let's read right here, and I don't know what we'll get to say. Like I say, I come here to try to talk with you about the Lord. I would like to come here to preach to you. But it's never been my desire to be a preacher. I've said many times to the Lord, you know, it's not my desire to be a preacher. I was struck down, turned around, and called in the ministry like Paul. And God gave me the great, wonderful revelation of Christ like he did Paul. And I'm less than nothing like Paul. But the thing is, I seek to do always that pleases the Father. And I come here to preach a sermon. But I have 40, 45 minutes. Sometimes you'll give me a little bit longer. And should I go an hour and 15 minutes, then I've really stretched it, really stretched things. And though some of you are very patient, very kind to me, that you'll stay with me. Even though it's a vision I saw, many of you are hard and fast asleep while you're there. They were with Jesus, but they did not see his glory till they awoke. And I come here, and then I go as Jesus, when he took his disciples and pulled them off to the side. He's like the priest in the Catholic Church. He came and found us sitting and talking to the brethren, and the brethren following and listening like little sheep. And he said, you know, so this is so much like the story of Jesus, of those that followed him wherever he went. And he was fascinated and finally repented and was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I talk to them a lot of times. We are off with them, and sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 5 hours. They hardly flinch. And to me, I don't know about them, but I've heard them say the same as I'm about to say, that it seemed to me like it wasn't over about 30 or 40 minutes at 5 or 6 hours of speaking. And I'm sure it must have been something like that when Moses was on the mountain, when him and the Lord had a conversation for 40 days. Come down, he didn't take time to eat, and he went back up and they talked 40 more days and he didn't take time to eat. And I just suppose that must have been a great time, because Paul pulled away for about 3.5 years or 3 years, several years after all of his studying, coming up in the strictest way of the Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, perhaps belonging to the Sanhedrin, and then out of all of that, went away for 3 years just to learn the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus as it was revealed to him. So that's what we're here for. And when I come here to talk to you as to the men, the women, and the children, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different setting. We've got little ones in the spirit. We've got little ones that are natural. We've got mothers. We've got daddies. We've got are people that are very attentive as to listening, and people that are very restless, that are carnal, that don't understand. And it's like sitting in a congregation sometimes when you're occupying the room of the unlearned and can't say amen, seeing that you don't understand the language of the people that you're among. See, but you can understand. You can understand, for the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. So when we come to talk with you, I would love to come and preach a sermon, which would take about 3 to 5 hours to get over. A sermon, if I hurried, I could get over numbers of things that would be a fragment of the mysteries of God. Only a fragment. If I hurried and continually talked, continually, without stopping for about the 5 hours, and I could get over perhaps a fragment of that. And out of that, as I would say it, as it is with the brethren, you may get a third of it. You may get a fragment of the fragments. Because in listening, I find that even the greatest, as to our scholars and the most diligent listeners, only get fragmental parts of what we're saying. But you can be as of a surety that it's not Brother Pike talking, it's God. Whereas the Bible said it's not you speaking, but your Heavenly Father. And that in that, the mind of God that uses our brain, as to the three minds, as to the sovereignty of your spirit, to use your brain. And when he talks, as doing all things as unto the Lord, and as he talks to the spirit of his children, they understand. And they are in the secluded place with him. Like that song, The Chapel of the Heart. See, and they understand because the great loving crisis of the Holy Spirit is on the inside, and he's talking to them, and he's tutoring them, and he's explaining to them. But then is the question that arises, what about them that are without? They do not understand, Lord, what you're saying. He said it's not given to them to know the mystery. But it is given to them to hear the gospel, and is of that one that is the twin that intellectually conceives as of that thing. Then it goes into their mind and they hear just like the other one hears, but there's no interpreter. And they take as this that is sown by the wayside. Jesus said it to the fowls of the air, come as to the evil spirits and devour it up. And they find themselves entangled or entwined in an intellectual wilderness, and they cannot understand when good comes. Or through the eyes of understanding, that which has not been enlightened, they cannot comprehend this great, wonderful truth. So that's where we're at. I'd like to talk about the good things of God, because it is my life. It is not a matter of me coming to church and getting anointed. It is a matter of my life that my innermost being lives in that world. And it is at any time that we knock on the door of heaven, then God is within his temple. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent while he speaks. So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, knowing how that we should conduct ourselves in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. Reading from the book of St. Luke, chapter 21, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and looking for those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer's now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with the surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and should that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. It says all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple. If you'll notice now, there's three or four things that I'd like to point out and just kind of skip about as to say something about what Jesus is saying in this discourse. First of all, they wanted a sign. He has said, as before, there'll be no signs. You are a wicked generation, and I will give you no sign, he said, except that of Jonah, as he was in the belly of the whale, and so shall the Son of Man be there, and then the resurrection. He said that because they saw signs all the time. They saw the Son of Man all the time. They saw the great things all the time. They saw the miracles regular, and yet they followed because of the fishes and the loaves, as is the same thing as today, but having eyes they could not see. Therefore, he did not offer them a sign. He just said, you're blind, and the only sign that you've got is the resurrection. If you're not in the resurrection, then you're lost, as to that which Jonah represented in the belly of the whale forever, which means spaces of time. All right, so it's very evident here that he shows the difference as to us giving out of our abundance, as to say, I'm not interested in what you have to offer of your talents, whether you are a singer, whether you are a preacher, whether you are giving money or what your time or your abilities. I'm not interested as to what you can give me. I am interested in your life and your soul. And when you surrender your all to me, as did the little widow, then am I your God. Otherwise, you're too busy with all your things. And these things as a sideline with me and giving me things on the side doesn't mean a thing to me. I want your heart and I want your life. I want everything. And the little widow put her life in his hand, and that in so doing, she had nothing to sustain her life except her confidence in the Savior as to what she had contributed. Even as it was in the days of Elijah, so it is the same. So then here, Jesus gives us a great lesson as to the natural. And then he said there'd be many people that would come in his name. They'll come in his name and say, we've done many mighty works in your name and all these kind of things. And even people that be antichrist shall come as to calling themselves Christ. But he said, don't let this bother you. And then he said, when you hear wars, commotions, don't be terrified. Earthquakes, all these things, you know, we are hearing of. Fearful sights and great signs there are, we see in the heavens already, which spoke about as to the discovery of planets, that it would come to pass because they had not discovered everything yet. Now the paper today carried some things. And it said the earthquakes, there'd be earthquakes and fearful sights and great signs shall be in heaven. And of course, it indicated that in the last days, there would be scientists that would survey the heavens and bring all these things to us as to the Bible saying pillars of smoke, as to this great bomb when it bursts and all these other kind of things, as to the last days of pouring out the Spirit upon all flesh, as to the rain upon the just and the unjust, the wheat and the tare. And then he says, you'll be cast into prison, brought into the synagogues and beaten. And it's come to pass that they are doing everything they can as to what they call the Trinity broadcast, which is a charismatic move that Satan is going to use to envelop the world, to bring everything into the control of the Pope. And with all these other things as to all these Trinity people that will fall into it, that are full of foolishness and trying to mix darkness with light with their ball games and their bathing suits and public bathing and all these other things to buy and sell and find places in the upper echelon as to dignitaries and being something in the world. And they all will fall into it because it goes back to the great whore and her daughters. And when the daughters have collectively come together, then mother will be there and they'll all go back to her. And so will this thing shift as to the European market. It's on the move now. It's on the way now. And everything is moving in very steadily. I wish we had hours just to explain a few things tonight. But anyway, it's hard for a preacher to preach when he knows he's just going to testify. So then we find it, it'll turn to you for testimony in that day. All these things are happening continually. Settle it in your heart. Don't premeditate. Just wait for the voice of the Lord, he said. And you'll be betrayed by your parents. They won't go along with your kinfolks, your friends. And some of you they'll put to death. And you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. For you're not of the world. If you was of the world loves its own. But in that you're not of the world, you don't find any favoritism of the world. Therefore, come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. That is, don't try to be a dignitary. Don't try to be a celebrity. Don't try to go into those places out there to mix and mingle with them. Don't be yoked together with them. For the Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. Or it says, be not yoked together with the unbeliever, because that is an unequal yoke, because you are a god and he is a beast. He's made to plow the field and you're not. So it says here, but there shall not a hair of your head perish, and your patience possess your souls. He says, when you see a Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation there is nigh. And he spoke of fleeing to the mountains. But you have to really listen to the word of God. You really have to be led of the Spirit. You have to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Because Jesus spoke this in such a way as to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, as though it be much study, brilliant people, they'll never understand it. But with the Holy Spirit, he tells you exactly where to stop and tells you where to stop. He tells you, start to stop and then move to another place, and then you understand it very thoroughly. So right along here, notice now how Jesus did this, and it's so well camouflaged here as from the eyes of the intellectual and the scholars of that day. For he said now, as to when you see the desolation, that's the days of vengeance. No, as to the desolation. But the thing is, if you'll go down just a little further, he speaks of the distress of them that are with child, the ones that have little ones, and how that they'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. See, it's very evident now that there's something there that you don't understand unless you watch close. Because in this, he is putting a twofold thing there. And these things that go through a symbolic, and then they go through as to a spiritual time, and then they come to the natural fulfillment. And As Daniel, he saw the same vision that John did as to the revelation, but it was said, seal it up, and so that it was sealed up as to the intellect and could not be understood. But when it come to John, it was said, see that you seal it not, John. And the great expose was there of the very same thing. So it is said here, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. Notice he said, and they shall be carried away of the Gentiles. Very evidently from the time that Titus, the young general that came in and devastated Jerusalem, when the cities were burned, they were scattered, they were dispersed, scattered abroad. And all over the world they went as to the Jews to judge the world, and that they themselves will judge the nations as to what the nations did to them when they collectively speaking come back together. And in the days when Jesus sits upon the throne in the millennium, they'll be the head of the nations and they will judge the nations. So here it speaks of the horrible time that can be seen from the time of Jesus, because Jesus, as of yet, though the kingdom is come, it is not made available to them, as to Jesus never having as of yet died for the remission of sin. And he taught them to pray, when the kingdom come, that they should pray, Father, thy will be done. And then he says right here, the kingdom of God, he speaks of the kingdom of God coming then. And he said, and this generation will not pass away till all be fulfilled. And indeed, when he hung upon Calvary in the very same generation, he said, it is finished, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill every jot and every tittle. And thus everything was thus fulfilled, as in the fullness of time, all things was brought into him. And that with that, as to the 483 years, heaven came in. And there was the kingdom. And men since that time has preached the kingdom, and men have pressed their way into it. And this, of course, has such great, profound significance that the whole world in its entirety, unless it's revealed, can never understand. It's like a brother today, a brother from New York, he was saying today, he said, Brother Pike, in hearing this, I could tell that the man was understanding, beginning to perceive after all these years. And he said, they don't understand out in the world, as he put it in his word. He said, it's not like that at all among the church world or the church people or what they're trying to teach, what they're trying to do, as he was expounding. It's not that at all. They missed it altogether. So that's not it at all, which is true, very true, because God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. That's why they continue on in their Trinitarian ways of life. And that's why they don't come to the name of the Lord Jesus. Not that everyone that comes to the name of the Lord Jesus to say, Lord, Lord, will be saved. For many of them don't understand. They're just attracted by the sight on the mountain as to there's a crowd and there's a revival, and they go over and they become is what they call Jesus' name, when they're not Jesus' name at all. See, and so they too must be purged. But even as God hid it from Israel, so has it been hid from them. But he tells them then here, he said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Well, anyway, as I get to this point right here, there is so many, many things that flood my mind and my heart as to be able to explain, to tell you what it is and what you're going to have and what we're going to have to do, where we're going to have to be found and where we cannot be found, as to the coming of the Lord Jesus when he seeks to save that which is lost. As I say again, not as to you seeking him, but as to him seeking to find, to save that which is lost. For he said, you've not sought me, I sought you. And that would nail as to the stain, the blood stains and nail-riven hands. So when I get here, I hardly know what to say. I hardly know what to do. If I was speaking to the brethren, I would just go on, because we don't have a time to come to church. We don't have a time to get out. I don't have a time to start. I don't have a time to stop. All I have before me is hungry hearts that continues to draw. And as long as the drawing is there, then the voice will speak if I surrender, that he might speak, for he desires to speak. But in the church, it's not so. It's not so at all. There's a different atmosphere. There's a different frame of mind and whatever. And even to an evasiveness as to make sure that we don't allow as to our feeling and thoughts as to taking longer than we feel that we could bear it. So then Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear it as of yet. But one of these days, things will change. And as to God shifting, shucking down, after a while, he'll get to the grain. And then after a while, we'll learn how to be still and know that he's God. And then we'll get into the deep, wonderful mysteries of God. And as the Bible said, the Spirit of God that's within you is to the Spirit of revelation. Searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. But those things will not come to your listening ear. No one has ever seen them. No one has ever heard them. See, because it's higher above your understanding than the heavens is the earth. And it cannot, you cannot attain unto it. Therefore, lest God give it to you, you cannot have it. It must be revealed. Folks, this is something that we need to understand. It must be revealed not only as to the revelation. See, through the day when I'm expounding it, I don't get hoarse at all. I'll go for hours. But then, of course, that helps me to get hoarse when I get here. But still, that's the way it works here because, see, my efforts toward you is an effort to preach to you. My efforts toward the brethren is not an effort. It's not an effort, but it's hungry hearts like the babe sucking on the breast to bring the milk down because of its hunger. See, and so then as to nursing the breast of Al Shaddai. See, here we are. As I come to preach to you and I press in to get your attention, not as to your attention as with your eyes, as to your face, not as with your attention, as to your courtesy, as to your consideration of me and your respect, because you greatly do that, even when I come behind the sacred desk with all reverence, but striving to get past you, that I might get to the inner you that is past the outer you, which is the power that is that image as to the power of Satan using that and utilizing it for his own being as to the image of the beast. But to get past that as the father of spirits that he might speak through me and that speak to the innermost being, which are the children of the spirit, that they might have the ear open as to hear what he is saying, that it be not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within. The ministry in general doesn't have any problem with this. They don't care about that. That doesn't make any difference with them because they are strong, they are healthy, they've not been praying, they've not been seeking God. They've been out exercising and jogging and lifting weights and they're fit to wrestle a lion, as we would say in the natural, and they are fit and full from vitamins and everything else. And when they come behind the sacred desk, they're all spruced up like they come from a beauty parlors. We had one here one night when we gave a little rebuke. And when they get up there, all they're going to do is put on a showmanship as to their own brilliance of intellect and years of study and as to their physique and their being as to attract your attention. And when you're completely absorbed, take the offering that will keep the wheels turning of that they have engineered or to the powers of ingenuity of their own life and yet not them but Satan, have to save in the things that be of the flesh or of the world. So they have no problem. If they do run into a little problem, as we say, then they put the man on the organ, and the organ does the job. As it was in the days of Saul that was aggravated by the evil spirit, then all it took was the harp of David. And as he played, the atmosphere was just right. As the prophets that refused to prophesy, because the very days are evil, and Satan being the prince of the powers of the air. Then they called for the minstrel, and they played the timbrels, and that created the atmosphere, and then they prophesied. And even by the same thing as it is today, because the Spirit is poured out upon you, as to a joyful noise unto the Lord, and with these beautiful things that we expounded as to the brethren this morning. See, and when this comes, you can prophesy. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy because the atmosphere is just right for the prophesying. But that doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't mean that you have the gift of prophecy. Now, suppose that means that it couldn't be God. Oh, yes, it is God. It is God. It is the Spirit of the Lord, as I said concerning Balaam. The Bible said that whenever he blessed somebody, they were blessed. If they were cursed by him, they were cursed. And he sold his gift for money because he was a soothsayer. Love the wages of unrighteousness. You see them by the wayside. A gift from God comes without repentance. There's people that have gifts. The Old Testament, God had those killed that could mediate as to the spirit world. He had them killed because he did not want those witches. But when it came as to the days of Mystery Babylon, they started to killing the real ones and calling them the witches and calling them, says the church. And so then it is that even in this day, the rain poured out as the last days your sons and daughters prophesy. Did not we prophesy in your streets, Lord? Haven't we done many mighty things in your name? Or that is, as to the days of grace, can they get healed? Can they get healed? Does the rain affect the tares to make it healthy and well when it is drooping and when it is having problems? Of course. So then there you find that as to the Bible, there comes the time when there will be lying signs and wonders. Not as to saying God's signs are lie, but it is as to deceive the very elect if it was possible, which it is not. But as to the three unclean spirits that went out like frogs into all the world to swallow them up in a trinity and to bring them into the field of blood as to the battle of Armageddon, bringing the rich, for it said they went to the great and the rich and the mighty, of to whom these people cater, everything plush, everything so. But the gospel, it goes to the poor, and the common people heard it glad, for the rich, they have the reward. And how hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God? Easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So it's very evident that there is a move of God in the land. And the move of God is the rain as upon the tare. And that is as to the refreshing. Because among the tare are those that have never known God. And among the tare are the sons of God and the daughters of God who God has saved while they were yet in their sins as to his foreknowledge. And I wish we had time to expound as we did to the brethren. But nevertheless, as to that, you must come out and you must have days of grace. You must have a sufficiency as of time so that you can come out from among them. And just as quick as you began to, even in the churches that are out there, as you begin to relate to this as to the reflectors, you do see something that stimulates something in you. And then all of a sudden, out of you, of course, comes this wonderful, great desire for God, so that you get so religious, they say you are a fanatic and you don't fit their sense and system of reflection, and that you're taking it too far. And all of a sudden, you're exiled as the rejected stone. And then as you wander, you run into some more rejected stones. And after a while, you find a whole body of rejected stone. And then your eyes become open and you think, God, I'm not the stone that's rejected. When, as the Bible said, in that rejected stone, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the works of the Lord and marvelous in our eyes. We're not the rejected stones. They're the rejected stone. We're not cast out of heaven, but they're cast out of heaven. But in the earth, it is in the reverse. As to the elite and the rich, that is the rich man said in California, this is my heaven. And so it is as to the second heaven. So they put us out and they won't have us. But it's only typical as to that in the flesh ruling in the earth as to Satan being the god of the earth. When you reverse it, it's to the last being first and the first being last. Then we come forth and we're the ones that put them out because they do not have the wedding garment in that they are in tattered rags as to their world, that's riches. But as to our world, that's rags, as to beggarly elements of the earth, as when Paul looked into the third heaven. No comparison as to those things and these things. Paul said, not to be compared with the heavenly treasure that you have on the inside of you. So it's very evident with this that we are the ones that are in control. We are the ones that are sitting on the throne, and we are the ones that are in heaven, and we are the ones that are the crowned ones and the ruling power as to the crown, which is the queen of the king. In this, we know that we are the children of God, and we understand that we are coming out from among the world, and when it is there that God has gathered the harvest, as to all them the tares shall be burned up, for there will be any more wheat among them. No more wheat among them. All will have come out from among them as a separate people. And just as soon as the calling of God is over, as to whosoever will, then whosoever will has come, and whosoever that came was the ones that was foreordained in the foreknowledge of God as the predetermined, as the predestinated. And so then it's very obvious that we are what we are from the foundation of the world and has always been. And as expounding to the brethren today in a greater, more broader way, a greater scope to take in many hundreds of things, but condensing tonight in just a compact sort of a way, as I said to them, we are taken before the great court of God, as to the Supreme Court. And we have there as to the prosecutor. And then we have our defense. And so then between Lucifer and Jesus, between these two, one is a prosecutor, one is our defender. Then between these two and before the judge of all the earth, as Abraham said to God, then there we stand. And we're brought into condemnation by the law that came by Moses. And it come to bring us into judgment and to magnify our sins. And by this we are dead. We are crushed. We are killed. Not being able to perform the wonderful things that's required of us. Though it was made in the image was lost. And though attributes of God was lost, and the great wonderfulness of God was lost. And now we are those that are lost in the dark, that cannot find our way. Not having a performance, as Paul said, and I say this in a compact way, because many of you won't understand, but some of you that have heard many sermons will understand as to these things. And so then there we stand. Then when we are judged of the great judge, He is there to differentiate and decide. He is there to pass the sentence, not to condemn, nor to justify, but rather to pass the sentence as to condemnation or justification according to that is rendered as to the prosecutor and that of our defense. And so then in this, when the battle is on and the war's there, I have to condense this in so many ways to leave off so many things as to bring in the body, soul, and spirit, and the spirit world, and until I can't hardly preach it. But nevertheless, bringing it around to this as just to get across a little thought. See, in coming around to this, then all of a sudden, our defense wins out, and we are justified by faith. Therefore, receiving the grace as to that from the great judge, as through our defense and his efforts, as to him giving himself in our behalf and that without price. Kind of like a district attorney, if he's the right kind. So then when this battle is over, then we've won out. But until proven innocent, thus we are guilty. And yet it is supposed to be even in our own law. Innocent until proven guilty. But this, as we know, it is the law that comes from Moses. It is the same. You are guilty till you are proven innocent. And anybody can take out a warrant for you. It doesn't matter whether you've done anything or not. They can take out a warrant and they can make you post bond. I said that to say this, that there is a justification. But the justification is not the way that we consider it, as to saying, therefore, now we are justified. Our defense has won out and we're justified, which that is true. But our defense has won out and we are now justified coming into the presence of this great judge. He hath now said that you're not guilty. See, that is to say, folks, it is not as to me being guilty or you being guilty. And because of that, then the guilt was taken away because of what the judge said. That wasn't it. It was the defense, your defense, as to there having been a blood atonement before the world ever was. And you, as the sons of God, even at the origin of things, when the plan was set in motion of the great wonderfulness that would take hours as to the master plan to explain. But see, it indicates that you were never guilty. There never was a guilt. There never was a sin. There never was a spot. You never was anything but the sons of God that was born of the great Holy Spirit, of this that was given you in Christ before the world ever was, and that no one could lay anything to your charge, and that you are sealed with the great Holy Spirit as the proof of that in your day when the gospel comes as to the Spirit of Christ that left the body of Jesus to come into your body as to the membership by measure, or baptized into the membership by one Spirit. Or that is to say, would the Christ Spirit come into you if you was not the Christ or the Jesus body? As to that of the predestinated, if you was not the seed from the loins of God, would that Spirit then come to you? Of course not. The Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. And whoever is his, as to the members, so will the Spirit come. And when the Spirit comes, what it has done, it has come as to the proof of your justification. And you're now free from the body of sin and the accusation of the law that's on the other side of Calvary. And now you are translated into the kingdom of God, and the inner man is through that Christ in your spirit. And now you are the children of God, even the sons and daughters of God. Now, beloved, are the sons and daughters of God. If I have to go through the judgment, if I have to be proven to be innocent, how can I already be the sons and daughters of God? And if this was given to me in Christ before the world ever was, how could I ever have been anything else from the time I was born into the world and even before? As the prophet said, and before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God called me and ordained me to be a prophet. And before the children was ever born of Esau and Jacob, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And as it was, Judas, before he was ever born, the prophetical utterance of the great Spirit said, let his bishopric another take. And when he was chosen as the disciples, the voice said, I have chosen 12 and one of you as a devil. And yet he obtained part of that ministry as to the pouring out of that Spirit, as to that grace, as to whatever upon the terror. But he failed by transgression and went to his place. As the woman that goes to her place in the wilderness, everyone hath a place. So then I said that to say this, our justification is the proof. When you say justified by faith as to the faith that was in Christ Jesus, even in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, and as to the justification, when the defense come, he was saying, I want to prove to you that they never did it. They never did it. For as the Old Testament, if the man says the woman is not guilty, she is not guilty, because he is held responsible for her and her conduct. As you're going to find out of the judgment, that you men are going to be held responsible for your wife as it was with Joshua, your family is with Joshua. When Joshua said, as for me and my house, I have control. And we will serve the Lord. And the Bible said, as of Abraham, knowing that he will not invite but command his household after him. And that the woman is subject to the man, and the children are subject as through the wife. So then that means that he is in command, even as God the head of Christ Jesus, and Jesus the head of man, and man the head of woman, which means the mind. And there is but one head, that is the male. And there are, as to the wife, she is the, as to the many members of her and the little ones, that comes as to the membership of the body. So this means that we that are here, that understand and know, we are justified, we are clean, we are pure. The beast body is dead, and all the problem was from the beast body, because we never was beast. We were always sons of God. And the Bible said, as speaking to Job, where was you before the world ever was, and before the morning stars sang together when the sons of God leaped for joy? As to where and when, we will say in the foreknowledge of God, when he saw the great jubilees and the revivals and the praises and the tears streaming down the cheeks. See, as to this, then where does that put us? It was the beast. That's where the problem was. The woman gave me. Woman, the beast beguiled me. And so then, as to the blame, the man was not in the transgression. The woman, it was said at Calvary, nay, it's not to be charged against her, but for I am responsible. I will pay her debt, whatever her debt is. Then, as it used to be, a man had to pay the wife's debt. Now they're getting to where the woman, she wants to be out front, you know, and they just say, well, okay, we'll make you pay your own debt. You know, if you're going to be a man, work like a man, pay your debts like a man. But he used to, he was responsible.
So then in that he himself paid the debt, that means before the world ever was, the Lamb was slain in the mind of God, and our names were written down in the Lamb's book of life, so there never was anything against us even before we was born into the world. It was taken away. Bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon his back before we ever came into the world. Every mistake that we would ever make, everything that we would ever do wrong, all of that was taken away before the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge of God. And we are rewarded no evil at all but good, even as to grace until the time of our maturity. So when we come to the knowledge of the truth, we accept the Lord Jesus. Therefore, that is the proof of our righteousness and justification as to the children of God. But if we come to the knowledge of the truth and then we reject the truth, that is the proof of our eternal damnation and no more atonement for but just the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. So this means that the Lord is letting us know that we are justified. Justification means that we are not guilty. It means we never was guilty. How can the judge justify somebody that is guilty by saying, I'm the judge and I know that you're guilty of murder, but because I like your parents and I like you, I'm just going to justify you. Though you've been so guilty, I will justify you and turn you loose. Is not he unnecessary after the fact? So then he cannot do that. But if there is a defense that can prove evidently as to the evidence that's available, even his own blood, that there is no charge against us. For who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect in that it is God that justifies? It is Christ that died for us that we might be justified. And then as the Bible said, we've not come unto the mount wherein it burned with fire and such fierceness, in that I exceedingly did tremble, Moses said. For if so much as a hair touch the mount, it shall be thrust through with a dart. But we've come unto the mount of God, even the church of the firstborn, wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect, or being justified there freely by his grace, by the faith within him we are sanctified. And as to that that's made perfect, perfected forever by the offering of one sacrifice, and not as it was in the days of Moses when the beast had to yield forth the blood for every turn of event, year after year, to bring sin to God's mind continually. This he despised, he rejected, he done away with it, burning the body outside of the camp as to the beast Golgotha, outside of the Jaffa gates, as it was said today when we got our call from Jerusalem. And the brother Ron said, I'm already in Jerusalem, just outside the Jaffa gates. I said, well, that means you're right there at Golgotha. He said, that's right. So see, that means that as Jesus suffered without the gates to fulfillment of that of Moses when they burned the bodies outside the gate, then we are today not burned outside the gates as to the fire of Gehenna, as we would say, there where the fire continually burns, but we are within the gates. And then of course we'd have to go into the revelation of many things that we expounded to the brethren in the last day or two that would take hours of why and how and through the law and by the wonderful covenant and the rent veil and as to the Ark of the Covenant and so many hundreds of things. So in this, we're just expounding just a little bit tonight to let you know that you are justified in his sight and you are now perfected forever. Because if it is the spirit of just men and that justification by the foreknowledge of God, as to his appointment to predestination, condemnation, or unto lasciviousness, or unto eternal life, then we find they can believe that or ordain unto eternal life, and the others cannot. And if the justification is of such, then our spirit is the spirit of just men in his sight. And if that be true, then because he is the Father of spirits, our body also, as to the redemption of the creature delivered from the bondage, that means that at this time also we're coming into the knowledge of this, that it might be made manifest in our mortal body, as to this purchased possession and the change, that the glory might be revealed. So if that is true, then that means that we as a people with the spirit of a just man have been made perfect. So this is where we're at. If that be so, then the body of sin is dead, and I'm free from the body of sin, which was the body of the beast. And within that body is no good thing, because that beast body that started with Adam It was infiltrated with the mind of evil as to the tree of knowledge and lust and concupiscence and much, much, much we could say about that as we come on down. But in that now we have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the resurrection, then we're free as through the metamorphosis, and now we are a heavenly creature hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received till the time of the restitution of all things, which would take much, much revelation to explain. Then that means that we are redeemed. We are the redeemed. I say again, we are the body of Christ. So we're not the body of the beast. Therefore, there is no spots, no wrinkle. For the Bible said, in this just man I find no fault, Pilate said. That's the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by which you're sealed unto the day of the redemption as to the body of the purchased possession. Don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire and ambition as to the zip and zeal thereof. But submit yourselves unto the Lord, humble your hearts, make manifest within your outer being this wonderful heavenly treasure that you're carrying in these earthen vessels, even the great mind, wonderful mind of Almighty God. Let's stand together. Though I talk much up here and have to hurry along, yet I say so little, as comparatively speaking, as to great is the mystery of godliness, and much to be said unto us. But this little time together, we come together, we have a little time to sing and praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge, to enlarge upon the things of God. But as Paul said, my little children, I write these things unto you, for indeed you don't realize how little you are. We're so big in our own eyes, whereas the thing that happens is we grow big in our own eyes, and then we have a middle wall of petition as to the vanity of mine is even Satan, the infiltration that blocks as between us and our great, wonderful God who is our life. But when we humble as to the body in submission, even as Jesus leaving the example to wash the disciples' feet, saying, I, your Lord and Master, I do this, you should follow. And in those things, we break down the middle wall of petition and we find we're less than nothing. And in that, then Christ, not us, but Christ, is thus alive. And it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me in the life I now live, even in my mortal genes, in my flesh, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, I live by Christ Jesus. So with this, we find ourselves little children. When we compare ourselves with the reality of the real church and the reality of the real God, we find we're just little children, little children. And so then as John said, my little children, and Jesus said, children. And whenever you find out what's going on, and if you ever do see, then of course you realize that they're little children. Even preachers are little children. As little children that's playing games and imagine themselves by themselves as to plans and programs, and as to doing things to get followers and money, position and fame and popularity, as to lord over, as to become some kind of image, as to the legend, even as that of what we read today when Brother James Isaac brought a little clipping that Elvis Presley is seeing a picture of him the other day. They said Elvis at 50 had a big picture of him that was identical to Elvis as a man that would appear as to 50. And then all of a sudden, James bringing that little article today that now they're going to take about 5 rock and rollers along with Elvis, giving Elvis a special page. And they're going to make postage stamps and pick out one of the striking pictures of Elvis to put on the postage stamp. And in that, the old serpent is revived again. And the old deadly wound of the head as to the intellectual reasoning comes alive again. And that out of Memphis is the pyramid, as someone has said, the pyramid there, we spoke of that in Egypt, what it had to do with us. No doubt a musical place from what they said, and that as an attribute, they have attributed that to Elvis. Is that right, brother? I see you shaking your head. He's from Mississippi. See, so the old thing coming to pass, and again, well, we could go on and go on as we said a few things concerning that also to the brethren today. So with this, we know that the old rolling the body, the old beast that has stirred the passions of the flesh, that is set on fire with lust all over the world, bodies that has caused corruption, the devil himself, as it has been said, that the man sold his soul to the devil, promised him his soul if he would do whatever. For he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, all these things I will give you. I will give you because they're given into my hand to give to whomsoever I will. And at the age of about 40 or something, not having lived his life half out as to the wicked, then there he met his death. I remember a brother that had a dream, and in this dream he said he offered him one of our tracts. But said as he did, said a dark figure came between the hand that offered the tract and the man that was to receive it. So, saying this again, that we could say a lot about that as pertaining to Whitehaven as to the home that's called the haunted place and whatever. But folks, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. We spoke of going into Canaan or the millennium coming in, and we said this has to do with Canada and the natural. And the papers carried the article that now Canadians are saying that they are persuaded that Canada is going to become part of the United States. So everything is working out right on time. Many other things that we could say as to the papers, the publications, and as to the revelation. But in our minute little way as to what time we have here, we say these few things to exalt you and to help you to know, Jesus said, when you see these things, that the time is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, John, he said, and the time. Let's sing a little chorus. It's very evident when the revelation came to Paul, the time was at hand. And John is speaking of the same thing because the Christ came in as to the church ages and the heavenly perspective came in. And now here we are again. Alpha and Omega, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's sing and love him, can we? I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Brother Ron called from Jerusalem, said everything was well. He made it over. He met Brother Malad. Everything was well. The meetings are set, and there's 14 different places in Egypt and in Jerusalem that they are expecting us to minister at. And I pray that you will pray for me. One of them is a church. I believe it's a Presbyterian church. He said it held about 1,000 or 1,500 people. And they're wanting us to speak there. One is something similar to a seminar. As to we are to have all the ministers coming together, at least 400 or more, and speak to them. They said that they had set me for the chief speaker. So then, everything is well. You pray everything will continue to be well. Some of you are going over, and you pray. I pray for you. Ron said while he was on the plane, all of a sudden he got excited. He could feel the presence of God. He told me about the time it was, and it was long in there when I was praying for him. He said, I just knew you was praying for me, Brother Pike, and I was. I was over around the midnight hour back down there somewhere. And it thrilled his heart, because though he went by himself, God brought to him a young Arab that is one of Brother Malad's workers and co-workers, as in the church there, which he said, I've already seen. He said it was really fascinating as to the uniqueness of this church, the way it's built. But anyway, he said he'd already seen, hadn't had a chance to go in it yet. because they were having services. They have early services. They have their college there and everything. As to him having been a Baptist preacher, and he just come right over and he knew some of the things that needed to be done and the things that we wanted, and working together, taking our literature, having a little council together, he just went right along with it. So in this, everything is well and has great meaning in us going back. Some will go to Jerusalem and will not go down into Egypt. Some will go, I suppose, down into Egypt to be with us in the services of Egypt. Others will more or less go to two of the Holy Land and just to see the places of the birth of Christ Jesus and Golgotha and whatever. But you pray for us. God's meeting the needs. No, many froze up and did their own thing as to the whole Christmas season and on through the New Year's. But God's still making the way for us, as he always has and always will. And he does it in his phenomenal way, as by faith. So as we sing this little chorus together, you pray for us. Keep us on the prayer list. And work with us here on the home front. Because already, as I told my wife, there are some that are coming, and they are really disturbed. As a matter of fact, they have pressed in and done things and took it as something that was granted to them. That now, having done what they should do spiritually, now they would take some time to do what they wanted naturally and to have a little time of lethargy and leisure. And in this, never realized that they were losing out, though I screamed at them and prayed and preached to them and talked to them, but so confident, so strong in the affirmative as to their own conviction and not the enlightenment of the Lord. And now they're coming like little helpless children. They're so pitiful that I don't know what to do with them, because suddenly the great and the mighty are fallen, and those that they thought was nothing has all, they've shot up like a corn stalk, and now they're beginning to put forth grain, and the others are left out. So you see, it's not in your confidence as to every man's ways being right in his own eyes, but as to them that Christ justifies. Let's sing this together. There's room at the cross for you. Sing that with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it this way now. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I did. Where we first, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now having all the Sister Betty was singing a little song the other day. You don't hear very much anymore. But she was singing the little chorus, I'm sure Brother Taylor remembers it. Jesus signed my pardon, and I can now go free. Jesus signed my pardon when he took my place at Calvary. And it was beautiful as I listened to her sing. Sometimes around the house, you know, she'd be singing. And I think the songs like Rebecca wrote the other day, a little article in the book that came in Only Believe, Brother Branham. The daughter putting out this book since the departure and decease of Brother Branham. And she said that she had learned that as of now, there had been a great mistake made in the church, which we preached to you many times for years. And this mistake is that they have replaced the old-time songs of salvation and holiness and the praises and worship of God with the new modern songs as to the tend of the rock and roll, like Elvis coming on the scene to get his group, and much that could be said there. But anyway, she says she sees now that this is a great detriment to the church. And then she asked the question. She said, you consider, as to the youth, what would be the interest? If you wanted to get control of them, what would you do? The same thing that the devil done, as I've said so many times. He does that because he knows that you are young and full of passions, whereas the Bible said that in the days of your youth that you should escape youthful lust and deny youthful lust and follow after the wonderful things of God. And to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days draw not nigh to the reaping, as to judgment upon that which ye have sown, as to that do you hurt. But anyway, she said, this is such a great tragic thing. And indeed it is, folks. But we need to love the Lord. We need to praise the Lord. We need to sing, worship the Lord. Jesus signed my pardon. I can now go free. Jesus, the one who loved me, took my place at Calvary. Or any of the songs that we sing should be a form of worship and a form of praise. It should be a story told as to his glory and to his greatness. Can we sing together? Over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at Jesus' feet. Oh, Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the rough sea no more. Can you sing that with me? Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Find him somewhere in the shadows, for there he's standing. And you'll know him by the nail print in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
but a boy in days of childhood. I used to play till evening shadows come, then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home.
I know I'm real hoarse and can't do much singing, but anyway, we're praising the Lord to worship Him in spirit and to worship Him in song. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. And while we do this, let's sing the little chorus, "I Will Praise Him." And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory. Oh, for His blood that's washed the weary. One more time together. We will praise Him. That Lamb for sinners slain. I will give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away my sinful stains. Once again together. So I will praise Him. I'm going to ask Brother Philip from over in Mississippi to come and dismiss us. He was telling me today that he's really had a battle. Even in that area, they're having a great battle with this epidemic. And talked like he was really having throat problems. But I'm going to ask him to come and pray the closing prayer, if you will. I always sing again one more time. I will praise Him. All together. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him.